Hey everybody, Chris Fafalius here. If you enjoy One Hit Thunder, which I'm assuming you do considering you're listening to it right now, I want to tell you about another great music podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. It's called Riffs on Riffs. On this season of Riffs on Riffs, hosts Toby Braswell and Joe Watson are breaking down one iconic pop song each week. Everything from Taylor Swift's Cruel Summer to Journey's Don't Stop Believin' to Naughty by Nature's OPP. Each week, they crack open the song, trace its history, decode those cryptic lyrics, and unearth the hidden gems in its musical DNA. Not only do they dive into the song's history, lyrics, and impact, they also go down some fun and oftentimes hilarious rabbit holes. So yeah, if you're a fan of One Hit Thunder, I think you'll also enjoy Riffs on Riffs. So go hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, One Hit Thunders, Thunderheads, Thunder Buns. All right, I'll just go with One Hit Thunder listeners. This is Chris DeMakes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Chris DeMakes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song that they have written. In our giant evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites such as Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu, and even some of the artists that have been featured on One Hit Thunder. The show is even produced by One Hit Thunder host Chris Fafalius. What more could you possibly ask for? Chris DeMakes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday. I guarantee you'll like it, or we'll give you your money back.
Welcome to the most bass-heavy episode of One Hit Thunder ever. Thanks to Level 42's 1985 single, Something About You, we get into a lot of talk about the best instrument in the world, the good old electric bass. Frontman Mark King's bass proficiency is impressive, but his songwriting is, well, next level. Stay tuned for a fun conversation about a jazz fusion band that drew us into the stream of undefined illusion. Let it love.
One hit is all you need to make the money guaranteed, and you can live off royalties forever.
And it makes me wonder, is it just a wonder, or is it one hit thunder?
So Matt, as a bassist, you know I'm excited for this episode.
I did not know this band. I don't even think I know this song.
Really?
Until we sat down and watched a bunch of their stuff. And dug it.
Yeah.
Liked it. Really into it. This is my type of music. But I realized that when we do these Patreon votes, mm-hmm. which is this one, you've won two in a row now.
Yeah, I love it.
The big divide is like... It's like you go about 91 and later.
Okay.
And I go like 93 and higher with my stuff. I always
you
like
mean 91 and before?
Yeah, like early like
you think I go 80s and 90s.
You go 80s. Yeah. Well, I think 80s. It's that we go with what our childhood is.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So yeah. Cuz I was like, man, Chris has a very distinct leaning into that like nostalgia of the 80s pop music. Whereas we've learned multiple times, my preference is to lean into like those one-off post-Kurt Cobain modern rock songs that I just love.
I think if we're talking in general, I think the 80s one-hit wonders are better than the 90s one-hit wonders.
I am not going to disagree with you. I think that almost sometimes the 80s ones are I think the 80s ones sometimes will fall into a little bit more of a questionable territory, whereas the 90s ones are usually very definitive.
Well, the 80s ones, too, a lot of times are bands that were massively successful in the UK and Europe in general.
And then they come over here and they have like one hit and then like this minor like bottom rung of the top 40 follow-up single.
Well, this song came back into my life. I mean, I knew this song when I was a kid. Probably didn't pay much attention to it. It was something on the radio. It was very 80s sounding. This song came back into my life in the past 3 or 4 years. We did a tour with Less Than Jake, where their front of house guy, Mo, every day, the first thing you would hear once they were, you know, testing the sound system at the club, you're loading in, is this song. Ooh. Because when cranked through a big sound system, it sounds absolutely incredible. I remember over the years, maybe it was a Bowling for Soup tour we did or something, their front of house guy always used Sledgehammer as that song. These songs where they just sound so good that when they're pumped through a system, it's like, oh my God, this song is amazing. And this is one of those songs.
I think an element of that, and this could also be the divide of the 80s songs being better than the 90s songs, there's just so much more happening in these songs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like most of the 90s one hit wonders, it's like 3 to 4 dudes with some instruments just playing a rock song.
Right.
You know what I mean? You go into this and it's like Sledgehammer. It's like how many different moving pieces are happening simultaneously in that song?
This song too.
Yeah. You know, and that's what I'm saying. We're using Sledgehammer. But yeah, I mean, this is when you first picked this song and it was like a runaway win, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. But when I looked, I was like, Chris picked a jazz fusion band? Like, Chris hates jazz. I listened to it. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
You're thinking of Johnny Hates Jazz, which is an episode we still have to do, Shattered Dreams.
We will get there one day for sure.
But yeah, I'm not big. I don't think of them as jazz fusion. I think of this as, I mean, for lack of a better word, I think of this as like a new wave song, you know? And it's definitely got, I mean, the slap bass definitely makes it funky. And I like funk, man. I think it's more funk, you know, funk pop than it is. The jazz, I don't know. Maybe the fact that there are sometimes some saxophone and stuff featured in it.
Well, jazz is one of those things where it is so like, you know, there's like so many varieties of it.
Mm-hmm,
you know what I mean? Like, I definitely don't think of this as jazz the same way that I think of Kenny G is jazz.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
But maybe something that's more of, you know, if was considered themselves a jazz band because it was like very funky and like this acid jazz fusion, I could absolutely see these guys kind of syncing up with that same sound of like undeniably talented musicians, undeniably complicated everything.
Yeah.
And then mix in this like legitimate fusion of like this funk, this rock, this pop. Like they are combining all of these sounds into something that really it like when we're watching, I'm like, I don't really know who I would even say this really sounds like. It sounds like Level 42.
Yeah, it's their own thing for sure. And as you and I watched plenty of videos of them before we recorded this episode, we saw this band started out as an instrumental band.
Yep.
Like they were like a progressive jazz fusion funk band. They're from the Isle of Wight in the United Kingdom, which is a place where with a lot of like resorts. It's like a vacation destination. So as Mark King said in the interview that we saw, Mark King being the bassist and one of the vocalists of this band, it was a place where if you were a working musician, if you were a band, you could sustain yourself as a working musician. So yeah. I think that's where they, you know, refined their craft and got really, really good. Now, the other guy who sings in this song, who sings like the very high, like kind of falsetto vocals is Mike Lindup. He's the keyboardist and percussionist. But there are also two brothers in this band, Boone Gould, who's a guitarist and saxophonist, and Phil Gould, who played drums. And as we learned, the Gould brothers, once they kind of got away from being like, I don't know, trying to take their instrumental progressive music and they, you know, Mark and Mike knew like, hey, if we want to be successful, if we want to go from selling 60,000 albums to trying to sell 500,000 albums, we need to have a hit.
Yeah.
And that's where their first song that kind of caught on, not in the United States, but in the UK, it reached number 3 in the UK was Lessons in Love, which you and I watched the video for. And
the song rules.
It is a very good song. It is so cool. Love the bass on it. Love the melodies.
Well, and that was after the song that we're talking about. Something About You.
Oh.
Something About You popped off in the U.S. first.
Oh.
And that's when the record label was like, you need, if you're able to get a pop song on the United States
radio,
yeah, there is zero reason why we shouldn't be able to get you
okay
blowing up in the UK. Wow. And that's when they really pushed that song. And I feel like I'm of two minds of it, right? Because I do get the one mind of, hey, like you said, if you want to go from 60,000 records to 600,000 records, you got to have a pop song.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that that's fair. I also could see the side of like, this isn't music we like. You know, like if it's music you don't like playing, I don't think enough records sold is going to change the fact that like now you're stuck playing this music that you don't like. And I know that both of them also said that part of it was exhaustion, because again, if you think that the bands, I think that it was two different goals for the band between the four guys who started it.
Okay. So
I think two guys were ready to be this big touring band and two other guys were perfectly happy having a livable life playing at the Isle of Wight,
right,
in the hotel scene that he spoke of.
Okay, well, the Gould brothers weren't happy about, I don't know, the sound change. It was a combination of their style change and also the success. They weren't ready to handle that. And, dude, I don't get that.
So this is the thing that I read. Guys, the Wikipedia page is like reading a short novella. Yeah. There are so many pieces to this puzzle. But it said that despite their success, Level 42 was on the brink of splitting up. Although Phil Gould was the most visibly dissatisfied member, it was actually Boone who was first to leave, departing in late 1987. Following their opening slot on a Madonna tour, he was the quietest member of the band, and it surprised everybody that he suddenly left. However, he had been suffering constant nervous breakdowns and exhaustion of the lifestyle of a touring musician and wanted to just settle down and spend time with his wife and children. Boone's relationship with the band, they remained amicable. Although he did not return to Level 42 as a performing or recording member, he did continue to write lyrics for the band's songs after he left.
Oh, wow. Well, dude, I mean, if you're not happy about the fact that your band has a hit song and you're touring with Madonna, nothing's going to make you happy in music.
No.
So it makes sense. And if he had a family and kids and didn't want to be away from them and also was having, you know, issues mentally, I mean, yeah, if you're having breakdowns and stuff, that makes sense. I can't fault him for that. But, yeah, you know.
And I mean, I can see it from the other lens of I had my uncle's band, who I've talked about on here a few times, before they became like the number one cover band in Philadelphia, when they were first starting out early on in their career, they were a big band swing kind of fusion band in 1996,
mm-hmm,
which meant that at one point they were offered a record contract and they even went and recorded it in a studio. And he said it was a situation of bad timing. Like they were working on the record just as like the swing craze started to die down. So eventually the label was just like, we changed our mind, and they got dropped. But my uncle has always, like, I asked him if he regretted that, and he was like, no. He's like, I get to play all these crazy events. Like, I get to do all this cool shit. Like, he played like a wedding for Tim Burton and Johnny Depp in the Bahamas at one point because of like the connections that they made and the reputation that they had built up.
Wow.
And he's like, I get to go and do those shows for a weekend and then come home to my family and just like live a full-time job as a musician doing what I love,
yeah,
without like having to be grinding it on the road for 5 months every sure year. It's like, you can't fault that. You can't fault the desire to be like, hey, I'd love to play music. I just don't want to literally spend half of the year living in a van with a bunch of friends.
Yeah, but I'm
that's not for everybody, for
okay,
sure.
Okay, maybe, but Level 42 had hit songs. They're touring in a bus and with Madonna.
That's true. That's fair.
I mean, you could probably bring your family with you for Christ's sake.
Like, that is true.
I can't sympathize with the Gould brothers too much, but obviously they had a lot going on. Now, Mark and Mike, I mean, I think these guys are just beasts.
They're crazy good.
As singers, as a keyboardist, as a bassist. Once again, that's what I started this episode with. Mark King, I believe, is the king of bass. We watched him play. There's a YouTube called like greatest bass solo ever. I don't know if it was the greatest bass solo ever, but you see that he's like an amazing slap bassist.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like it's hard to throw any slap bass, and this is coming from a guy who doesn't play bass.
Mm-hmm.
Slap bass is a thing that is very cool and sounds very cool. And I think that if you don't know a ton about bass, it's also very easy to trick people into thinking it's like the craziest thing that's ever happened.
Maybe.
It was very impressive and cool, yeah, though. I will stand by that. But
I don't slap the bass. I pick the bass. So yeah, I see that and I'm like, I can't do that at all. So I think that's really cool.
Have you ever tried the slap and just didn't like it, or it's just not
I yet? Never spent any time trying to even learn it.
Yeah.
And I mean, because in the style of music I play, it's not necessary, even though I should at some point be like, you know what? It'd be fun to slap the bass.
Even if it's just a quick little pop in the middle of like a bridge.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I don't know why I've never, you know, I'm a pretty okay bassist, you know?
Who knows? That might be the thing you know, you always talk about that moment that happens in a song that sticks out for everybody.
Yeah.
Maybe it's this pretty poppy song and then all of a sudden it stops for 20 seconds of some slap bass into a chorus.
You think a 20 second break for slap bass? Hey, we just need a quick 84 bars of slap. Maybe not 80. Yeah, just 42 real quick. Yeah, and these guys as singers. Now, Mike sings like kind of the more normal vocals, and then Mike always does like the falsetto high vocals. Just a great combination of vocal stylings there. It's just a killer combo. Something About You went on to become a number 7 on the Billboard Hot 100 hit in 1985. I think it's amazing. What else is amazing, and I made Matt watch, is when they play live, watching what he's playing on bass matched with him also singing at the same time.
Insane.
Yeah. I mean, I could play what he's playing, like a pick version of it, but to also sing at the same time takes a lot of concentration. I'm sure it's second nature to him at this point, but he talked about even that other song we were talking about I guess was the next single. I didn't realize that.
So this is the other thing that's crazy is like, it is, if you were to ask anybody in any other country, hey, name a Level 42 song, they would say Lessons in Love.
Right.
Like that was like the song that crossed over into all of these other countries and then just did like a modest job in the States.
Right. And that song, as we watched an interview with Mark King and he played it and sang it, I was like, oh my God, I want to write songs where I could just pick up a bass and sing and play. And it's still amazing because he played Lessons in Love on the bass. And he said to this day, it's still the hardest like bass line. And it's not, the bass line isn't something, it's kind of just like scales, but the rhythm of it and then him singing at the same time, it just sounds so good. It's very impressive. And he said to this day, it's still like kind of the hardest thing to play and sing at the same time. That song went on to reach number 3 in the UK, and it actually did hit number 12 on the Billboard.
Yeah, it did okay.
100. And for our like, I mean, that's kind of high enough in the Billboard.
Oh, so across everything, it breaks our metrics. So what counts a one-hit wonder? But
I don't think, I didn't know that song then. I didn't know it until doing research for this song now. That song hasn't stood the test of time as much as I think that Something About You has. Like, I think Something About You still gets played on, once again, adult contemporary easy listening stations. It's a song I knew. You know, it's a song I've always kind of known, and I think it's great.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
By now, I'm sure you've at least heard about Factor, but if you haven't tried it yet, let me tell you as a guy who loves it, now is the time. Enjoy stress-free dining this spring with Factor's chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals that are ready in just 2 minutes. With 35 weekly options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie, plus over 60 add-ons, you'll stay fueled and feel fantastic all day long. Don't wait. Fuel up for your spring goals today with Factor. Factor offers you chef-prepared meals ready in just 2 minutes, so you can spend more time doing what you love this spring. Indulge in gourmet options like filet mignon, shrimp, and fresh veggies without the hassle of prep or cleanup. Customize your weekly meals to fit your schedule perfectly and enjoy the convenience of Factor's no-fuss, no-mess approach. Plus, you can celebrate Earth Day all month long with Factor's low-carbon footprint options. Factor is your go-to solution for fast, premium meals, eliminating the need for cooking and empowering you to savor every moment. So head to factormeals.com/onehit50 and use the code 150 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code 150, the words one hit and the number 50, at factormeals.com/onehit50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
It is mind-blowing.
And heartbreaking.
How many original scripts are written every year but are never made?
So we seek out these scripts and bring them to life with full audio production and professional actors.
Check us out at Undiscovered Scripts.
Movies made of paper.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Free!
So the Golds leave the band.
Right.
And they're constantly trying to like re-piece a band together. And I'm going to bring it into a little bit of Bummertown, but did you read about the guitarist that they brought in shortly after that?
No.
So the band recovered after the split of the original lineup, but then they were hit with another tragedy. Unknown to the band, their new guitarist, Alan Murphy, was suffering from AIDS, something that he kept to himself when he joined the band. At the time, his previous band, Go West, so this was a former member of Go West, had been stalled due to some internal disagreements. And one of his reasons of joining Level 42 was to ensure that he got to spend the last days of his life playing the music that he loved.
Jeez.
But during 1989, he contracted pneumonia, and weakened by his already existing condition, he declined rapidly and died in October of 1989.
Wow. I did not know that.
So yeah, that was like a year or two after all the members, half the team left. But I was like, A, that's really sad. B, credit to Alan Murphy. C, that also means that he died right before King of Wishful Thinking comes out, too.
Wow.
Because that was 1990, right?
I don't remember, but yeah.
That would have been when Pretty Woman came out, was 1990. So, right. Yeah, like it's like that's tragic. It's a sad. Yeah. It's a sad story. Let's pick it up a little bit with two things. Number one, do you get the reference in the number 42 for Level 42?
I do. It's actually a reference to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And in that, 42 is the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything, which I don't get.
Have you ever read the book?
No.
I will explain it to you because I have read the entire series.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the Earth is destroyed.
Okay.
That's how the book starts. And this one guy is brought up by his neighbor, who was an alien, who was there to make sure that Earth didn't get destroyed, and he failed. But he's like, I like my neighbor, so I'm going to take him up to outer space with me. And the whole book is this neighbor learning about everything. And it is a very British thing. Mm-hmm. It started as a radio drama that then became a book, that then became a TV series, that then became a movie.
Okay.
It's like a huge piece of like British comedy. The reason Earth was destroyed was because hundreds of years ago, all of the greatest scientists in the universe built a supercomputer, and the supercomputer was going to tell them the meaning of life, the universe, everything. And the computer produced the number 42, and they didn't understand it. And the machine said, perhaps you don't know what the question is that I'm answering then. So then they built Earth as a machine that after a certain amount of years would produce the question so that they could know what 42 was the answer to. But someone didn't want them to have that knowledge, so they destroyed the Earth before it could produce its question.
Wow.
But yeah, so that's a very popular geek thing, mm-hmm. is 42 being a number. When I worked at a comic book shop, and you can literally, if you talk to anybody in any comic book shop, they'll probably tell you this. They usually have maybe 100 mail slots that people can subscribe to their comics in. And you can pick your number. The two first numbers to go in any comic book shop is 42 and 37 for Clerks.
Wow.
Those are like the two numbers that go instantly when a new comic book shop opens.
I thought you were going to say 69.
No, you would think, but
that's
no.
That's probably number three.
Probably number three, but yeah, the geeky people want either the 42 or they want the 37.
Wow. See, you're teaching me and I love it.
But do we want to talk about what was on the Billboard charts when this guy was, when this song, Something About You, was doing
love,
okay?
I would love to know.
Number seven.
This was number seven.
Peaked on May 31st, 1986.
Okay. I love 1986.
Number one song, Whitney Houston, Greatest Love of All.
Okay. All right.
A few of the other highlights. Janet Jackson was sitting at number 10 with What Have You Done For Me?
Oh.
What have you done for me lately? Mm-mm-mm-mm. Number nine, we had Journey with Be Good to Yourself, which was one of the later Journey songs.
I don't think I know that one.
It's a good one. I believe it's their opening song at most of their shows now because okay. It's kind of a fan favorite. Number eight, Mr. Is It Love?
Okay.
I was expecting Broken Wings, not the case.
No.
Number four, I'll play my hand here. My favorite song out of these songs, OMC, If You Leave.
OMD.
I had a typo here.
Yeah, OMC is How Bizarre. OMD, yeah. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
If You Leave.
Amazing
don't
song.
Leave now. Oh, it's so good.
One of my favorite 80s songs.
Then the last two we had at number three, On My Own, Patti LaBelle featuring Michael McDonald.
On My Own. Yeah.
And number two, maybe this is why she asked him to tour with her, Madonna with Live to Tell.
Oh, dude, that's my favorite Madonna song. That's the best Madonna song.
This was your dream charts, it seems like. You got some Michael McDonald, some Madonna, some OMD, dude. Some Whitney Houston, and some Level 42, and Janet all in your top 10.
Dude, that is really good. Not one of my favorite Janet songs, but dude, OMD, that is also one of my favorite. I'm surprised we haven't done an OMD episode because they did have another song.
I was going to say, I think they had another. I think that's one that people have always asked about. And then we look and we're like, ugh.
But the other song is kind of like this situation. This Lessons in Love song was number 12, man. You know, and so we gave Level 42 a pass. I think we should give OMD a pass. That is peak 1986 with If You Leave and this song on there. And dude, Live to Tell, my favorite Madonna song. Really impressed with that. Also really impressed with after the Gould Brothers split. You and I watched the music video for the song Children Say. Once again, loved it.
Great song.
Once again, loved the music video where they were so close to each other, looking at each other and singing in each other's faces so close.
It was as if it wasn't for the fact that I already read that it was shot in Paris.
Uh-huh.
I would have believed that it was like, hey, we're going to green screen you into Paris, but there's some bad news. The green screen is just this broom closet. Yeah, so
it's the smallest, world's smallest green screen. Get in tighter, guys. Nope, tighter.
You know, like there's that meme that's like Kiss. Like it is, they are just one look away from full on making out midway through
video. They should be face to face. They should be smashed face together.
But another good song. Like I loved it. Did not play me a song by Level 42 that I wasn't like, yep.
Yep.
Dig it.
So then you and I together sat down and watched an interview from recent years from, I think it was a BBC show, some sort of British show.
It was definitely British.
Yes, it was definitely British, but it was great. You know,
I love British interview shows, man. They're just so loose and weird.
Yeah, it was very fun. But Mark King kind of told the story and he said, he was talking about how cool it is that after all these years, they can still go play shows sometimes, go do some tours, and people were there. No pressure of like competing with other bands or anything, and they just get to go up there and kill it. And then on this show, they played Ace of Base, I think they called it, where people had to write down what song he would play a song on bass, and they had to guess what it is, and he played Joy Division, Love Will Tear Us Apart, and then he played Jackson 5, I Want You Back on bass, and the whole crowd sang along, and I don't know, man, when I watch this guy, I just really like him.
He seems really likable, and as much as the band has had a lot of lineup changes, the two constants have been Mark and Mike.
Yes.
Mark and Mike have stuck it through, and I mean, I think the music is better for it. They have fantastic harmony parts. Yes. They trade off the low and the high parts of the vocals well. Like, mm-hmm. This is a good band. I'm glad that you introduced this band to me. This is a good band.
Go watch some live videos of Level 42 and you'd be like, this is crazy. There's like a female backup singer and a keyboardist and a saxophonist. And
it's a very limited setup for what the sound is.
Yeah, I think Mike is pulling a lot of weight on the keys. He's got a lot of sounds, patching in a lot of cool sounds. And Mark on the bass is just, I don't know. That's such a big part of this. That's why what I said to you when Less Than Jake used to, their front of house guy Mo used to pump this through to test out the system, that bass just hit so hard. That's such a big part of their sound. And of course, I'm going to like that.
Yeah.
You know me. It goes without saying that this is Thunder for me.
This is 100% Thunder. Who am I? Again, I've said this a couple times. Who am I to sit here in judgment of Level 42? Like, they're great musicians. These are great songs. I will definitely be listening to more of them. I'll definitely be watching more Mark King videos.
Yeah, I would thank the One Hit Thunder podcast. I would thank our own podcast for making me dive in more. Like, I do love this song, but I realize this is just a great band.
Is there going to be a couple songs from this band that make it into that playlist that you talk about that's just songs that you like?
Yeah. I have a playlist that's songs that move me.
Yeah.
It's just for years I've just been adding as I hear songs. Could be an old song that I just have recently been exposed to, or it could be a new song that I hear, or it could be a song I'm like, oh, I forgot about that song. Going to add it to this. Yes, I mean, Something About You's already been on it, but I think I'm going to add Lessons in Love and possibly Children Sing.
Yeah, they're great songs.
They're really, really good. And as we were sitting there, you know, when we're watching this on YouTube, I have my studio speaker set up, so you're hearing.
Oh, they sound fucking great.
Yeah, they sound good, right? So it really accentuates this. I highly encourage when you listen to Level 42, either listen to it through some good speakers or listen to it in some really good AirPods. I think you'll be impressed at all the stuff that's going on that you hear. And I think that makes me love this band even more. Thunder all the way, baby.
Covered in thumbtacks and wearing the legs of an ape costume in the desert at high noon. Shaved down the middle, got a rat on my shoulder. I try to look for.
This has been One Hit Thunder. One Hit Thunder is hosted by Chris Fafalios of the bands Punchline, Pack, and Another Cheetah, and produced by Matt Kelly of Geekscape.net. Underneath me, you're hearing Coyotes and B Major off the Punchline album Delightfully Please. Visit punchline.com for merch, tour dates, and news. We're on Patreon now. Become a patron and get bonus content, early episodes, and a chance to vote for future episodes at patreon.com/OHTpodcast. Do you want to start a podcast? Contact Chris and myself at weknowpodcasting.com for how we can make your show sound as professional as possible. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting app. And tune in next week for more One Hit Thunder.
Wouldn't change it. In fact, I turn the clock around to sing this chorus. A disclaimer of sound. I think we should just be friends. I think we should just be friends. I think we should just be friends. See if it ever happens again. Walking up a hill with a thousand little holes and a blindfold, high heels, and a beak on my.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+. Hi, this is Chad Nicefield.
And this is Justin Press.
We're the host of Making Waves, the Shiprock podcast, a part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. We're inviting you to sail away with us on an epic journey in musical enlightenment. Every week, we bring you only the best artists in rock music and discuss everything from the cruise to the stage to the saga of being a professional recording artist. We'll have lots of special guests along the way, so tune in every week.
Your stateroom is available every Monday morning, so welcome aboard.